This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehias Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The conflict has again illustrated the inadequacy of our own global organization, this body, the United Nations, and in particular, this council.
That was South Africa's Minister of International Relations, Naledi Pandor, criticizing the United Nations and its failure in the Middle East. Details coming up. Also, we hear the latest on the conflict between Hamas and Israel. And a London High Court has overturned $11 billion in damages stemming from a collapsed gas project. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. Later today in New York, the United Nations Security Council will vote on different resolutions calling for a pause in the conflict between Hamas and Israel to allow aid into Gaza civilians. The council has been divided on the issue and previous resolutions have failed to pass. U.S. President Joe Biden and Saudi Arabia Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman are discussing ways to stop the conflict from widening. France's president is in Egypt to meet with President al-Sisi and has called for aid to reach Gaza. Today, the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees has said it will be forced to stop its work in Hamas-administered Gaza unless it receives fuel by the end of Wednesday. A small number of aid trucks have entered Gaza since this weekend, but these are only a fraction of the usual flow of aid across the border. Gazan authorities say more than 7,000 people have died in the Israeli bombardment, which began after Hamas fighters attacked Israel communities on October 7th, killing at least 1,400 people and kidnapping more than 200. Reporter Linda Gretstein is closely monitoring the conflict, and I spoke with her earlier today. We began our conversation with an update on the humanitarian situation in Gaza.
Well, yes. I mean, Gaza is totally chaotic. And about six hospitals have already shut down. Israel, by the way, the Israeli army released photos of what it says are 500,000 liters of fuel that Hamas has and that is not giving to the civilians in Gaza. And so Israel says that it has put the blockade on Gaza because of the hostages. And if the hostages were released, then Israel will let all of the fuel and all of the humanitarian aid in. And they say the people of Gaza should go to Hamas. Now, I don't know if we have any way of confirming that. What we do know, I spoke today to a psychiatrist in Gaza, and he said the situation is growing increasingly desperate. You have hundreds of thousands of people who fled northern Gaza after Israel told them to, saying that it was going to bomb northern Gaza. And some people are sleeping in the streets and tent camps and have nowhere to go. And the Israeli bombardment is continuing throughout the Gaza Strip, although more focused on the north. There are also bombings on the south. So the situation before all of this started in Gaza was very, very difficult. And now Gaza does seem to be on the brink of a humanitarian crisis.
And talking about Israeli bombardments, the United Nations in the besieged territory said its shelters were overwhelmed by more than 600,000 Palestinians fleeing Israeli bombardments. And this after the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza at the Security Council, saying that clear violations of international law are ongoing. And then we mentioned it yesterday and you talked about it. Israel's ambassador to the UN demanded that Guterres resign over his comments.
Yes, in fact, there's quite a bit of tension between Israel and Guterres. Even more over, he said something that the Hamas attacks did not happen in a vacuum. which, you know, Israel sees as kind of blaming Israel for what happened. And Israelis are furious and, in fact, announced today that they are not going to give visas to United Nations officials who want to come to Israel and have started actually denying one today until the Secretary General, you know, takes back his comments or apologizes. Guterres has hit back saying, I also said that, you know, nothing can justify the Hamas attacks. So there's a lot of tension. I mean, Israel has long believed that the United Nations, you know, is not a friend of Israel. And so there's quite a bit of tension. At the same time, I think that Israel does understand that it has to find a way to get more humanitarian aid into Gaza. As you said in the intro, you know, there have been some trucks. I think something like 34 trucks have gotten in, but that's just a fraction of what Gaza needs. Gaza needs water, medicine, food. It's really and Hamas, which is supposed to be running Gaza, the Hamas leaders, you know, aren't there. They're all, you know, in bunkers or in tunnels underground. So there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty in Gaza, a lot of tension, a lot of fear. And as you said, the death toll is continuing to climb.
And Linda, negotiations to release more Israeli hostages held by Hamas are still ongoing. Can we see a breakthrough soon?
Well, we thought we were going to have a breakthrough, you know, yesterday and the day before that. The Israeli government made an interesting statement today in which it publicly thanked Qatar, which Israel does not have diplomatic relations with, for its role in trying to secure the freedom of the hostages. And there have been a lot of reports that Qatar has been pressuring Hamas to release at least the women and children. I mean, you have babies who have been kidnapped. I can't even, you know, think about what it's like. Some of them are with their parents. Some of them are by themselves.
Reporter Linda Grantstein, closely monitoring the situation in Israel. Thank you for your input. At the United Nations Security Council, South Africa had heavy criticism for both Israel and the Hamas group for killing civilians as conflict continues in Gaza. But International Relations Minister Naledi Pandor's most cutting remarks were reserved for the UN and the Council itself. Darren Taylor reports.
South Africa's International Relations Minister Naledi Pandor told the UN Security Council the ultimate solution to the violence is establishment of an independent Palestinian state, with East Jerusalem as its capital. Israel opposes that idea, and international efforts to bring about the so-called two-state solution have stalled repeatedly. Pandor called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza to open humanitarian corridors so aid could flow into the area. Speaking to the Security Council yesterday, she called on both sides to exercise restraint. She also took aim at the United Nations itself.
The conflict has again illustrated the inadequacy of our own global organization, this body, the United Nations, and in particular, this council, which has the mandate of maintaining international peace and security. The Council has clearly not been able over time to prevent conflicts from spiraling into intense violence and harm to ordinary civilians. All of us need to work harder at reforming our organization so that it is more capable of responding in protection of civilians.
U.S. President Joe Biden has declared his support for UN reform, including a permanent seat for Africa on the Security Council. In her address, Pandor recalled the 1994 genocide in Rwanda.
History cannot keep repeating such cruelty with all of us watching. We should establish a system of global governance that is fair, equitable, and has the capacity to respond to the needs of all persons in situations of threat and harm. A system that is not just a tool for the most powerful countries of the world, but that provides protection for the most vulnerable.
She said South Africa's appalled at the Security Council's failure to agree to a resolution that would commit all parties in the Middle East conflict to ending the fighting. The conflict began on October 7, when Hamas fighters from Gaza assaulted several Israeli communities, killing more than 1,000 people and kidnapping about 222. Since then, Israel has blocked food, fuel, and medicines from Gaza and has bombarded the territory, killing several thousand people. Director of the Afro-Middle East Center in Johannesburg, Zinat Adam, praised Pandor's speech, but told VOA she was disappointed the minister did not criticize Israel's allies.
What we're also witnessing is an escalation of war profiteering by the United States. They have already deployed 2 aircraft carriers, at least a dozen ships, and they have continued their pledge to arm Israel even further with more military arsenal and armada that they could use against the Palestinians.
The Biden administration says it sent forces to the region to deter other states or groups from expanding the conflict beyond Gaza. Biden has said Israel has a right to defend itself, but has urged Israeli forces to show restraint and avoid civilian casualties. The U.S. also has called for a humanitarian aid corridor into Gaza and pledged $100 million in aid for Gaza residents. Zev Krengel, chairperson of South Africa's Jewish Board of Deputies, said Pandor's UN speech was mostly anti-Israel.
She still really hasn't condemned Hamas.
Pandor spokesperson Clayson Moniela told VOA the minister's condemnation of all atrocities is well known and that she cares deeply for all people affected by conflict. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Tunisians have protested around the country to denounce the killings of thousands of civilians in Gaza and protest against U.S. support of Israel. Noura Hafida has more from Tunis.
Thousands of Tunisian protesters have denounced the rising death toll in Gaza as Israel continues to bombard the territory following the Hamas assault on Israeli communities. On Friday, a large crowd demonstrated outside the United States Embassy in Tunis. The protesters are chanting, expelling the ambassador is a duty, closing the embassy is duty. Many of protesters are angry at the United States support for Israel in the conflict, which began on October 7th, when Hamas fighters killed at least 1,400 Israelis and foreigners and took more than 200 people hostage. Since then, Israeli attacks on Gaza have killed more than 5,000 people. The protesters were particularly angry over an explosion at a Gaza hospital last Tuesday, which killed hundreds of people. Authorities in Gaza blamed the attack on Israel, but Israeli officials said evidence points to a misfired Hamas rocket as the cause. The United States has backed that explanation. Amir Al-Shifi is Assistant Secretary General of the Tunisian General Rubber Union, which has organized the protests.
اليوم تنطلق المسيرة الوطنية التي دعا لها اللجنة الوطنية لدعم المقاومة في فلسطين واللي بطبيعة الحال الاتحاد العام التونسي للشغل مكون رئيس من مكوناتها وهذه فرصة ثانية.
Today's national march at the invitation of the Tunisian General Labor Union is a second opportunity in which we renew our opposition to Israeli occupation in support of the Palestinian people away from the hypocrisies and fallacies that the Western media, especially the biased ones, keep relying on.
The Tunisian Judge Association has joined in the protests and declared a day of public rage on Friday in all the countries. Judges chant, Palestine is free, and the occupation must come to an end. Judge Amir Kwiba explained the judiciary position.
We issued a statement today in support of the Palestinian people as their land has been occupied for decades. This reminded us of the UN resolutions that were not implemented, which the occupier had ignored.
Protesters last week also set fire to a historic synagogue in the Tunisian town of El Hamma. No one was injured. Against that backdrop, a Tunisian Jew wanted to send an assuring message without revealing his name.
Shalom Racha, nahnu ani garbi Tunis, tsav shel hakila.
Shalom, I'm a Tunisian Jew. We are doing fine here and we thank God. No one is harmed by this war. Here we live together in peace and we hope that the war will end so no harm can be inflicted on the two sides.
United States President Joe Biden has stressed his support of Israel and asked Congress to approve $10 billion in support, which caused anger in Tunisia. He also asked for more than $100 million in aid for Gaza residents and urged Israel to protect civilian lives. At the Cairo Peace Summit on Saturday, the United States Charged Affairs for Cairo, Beth Jones, taught participants the United States in commit to the Palestinian people's right to dignity, to self-determination. For Voice of America Africa, I'm Noura Hfayed in Tunis.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. Nigerian authorities are praising a London High Court ruling Monday that overturned $11 billion in damages stemming from a collapsed gas project between Africa's largest economy and a private company. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
In a statement, Nigerian President Bola Tinubu lauded the London Business and Property Court ruling in a 2010 gas deal, calling it a victory for what officials termed the, quote, long-exploited, end quote, African continent. Tinubu said, quote, nation-states will no longer be held hostage by economic conspiracies between private firms and solitary corrupt officials, end quote. Nigeria and Process and Industrial Development, a firm based in the British Virgin Islands, signed the contract to construct a gas processing plant in Nigeria's oil-rich region. The deal, however, fell through, and P&ID took the Nigerian government to court in Britain. In 2017, an arbitration tribunal ordered Nigeria to pay a $6.6 billion contract award and interest to P&ID. The government appealed that decision. The court on Monday said the company had in 2010 paid a bribe to a Nigerian oil ministry official in connection with the deal. The court also said P&ID did not disclose that information when the deal failed to materialize and that two British lawyers defending the company stood to benefit if the court ruled in favor of the firm. Nigerian political analyst Rotimi Olawale says the decision is a relief for Africa's biggest economy.
For many analysts and watchers who were following that case, it came as a huge relief because Nigeria literally dodged a major bullet. Knowing the FX issues the country is facing at the moment, getting a judgment of $11 billion will have been a big blow to Nigeria's financial situation.
The company's lawyers say they are disappointed in the outcome and are considering next steps. The firm also has denied the fraud allegations and accused Nigeria of incompetence. Nigeria's economy has been struggling with spiraling inflation and mounting debts for years. And more recently, government reform policies have seen Nigeria's foreign exchange reserve dwindle significantly, increasing the scramble for U.S. dollars and weakening the local tenor. $11 billion is about one-third of Nigeria's foreign exchange reserves. Ebenezer Oyetakin, founder of the Anti-Corruption Network, says the ruling couldn't have come at a better time.
It is an example of how many African countries have been mortgaging their economy. Definitely, it will be of a huge help to the dwindling Nigerian economy, as we are witnessing currently. But we should not rest on our oath. we should continue to absolutely stand against corruption.
Olawale says Nigeria and Africa must address institutional corruption back home.
The judgment should also give us an opportunity to tidy our home front. I feel that Nigeria, like many developing countries, go into all kinds of dubious contracting. It is on us as a nation to ensure that we do our due diligence and that we harmonize the process in which we do contracting with other parties.
Reports say the London court could decide to send the case back to the arbitration or abandon it without delay. Timothy Obiezu, VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
Kenya's Mau Mau veterans are seeking redress from Britain, including an apology and compensation, ahead of a visit by King Charles III to the East African country next week. In the early 1950s, the Mau Mau guerrillas fought the UK for nearly 8 years in protest over the colonial settlers who took the most fertile lands for their plantations. Buckingham Palace said Charles and wife Camilla will acknowledge the more painful aspects of colonial history during their four-day state visit, which starts October 31st. In 2013, Britain agreed to compensate more than 5,000 Kenyans who suffered abuses during the revolt in an out-of-court settlement. The French news agency says more than 10,000 people died in the Mau Mau uprising, a figure some historians claim is low. As the world seeks strong leadership to find solutions to its many social, political, and economic crises, Africa is celebrating 50 young individuals who are making a difference on the continent. They have been named global change makers as an African youth summit in Rosenville, South Africa. Vicky Stark was there and filed this report.
These young men and women have been recognized for having a big positive impact on their communities. And organizers of the African Youth Summit say they hope the youths will return home to inspire others to do the same. Gabriela Yeager, who co-founded the Global Changemakers organization, says about 1,250 young people have been selected since the organization was launched 15 years ago. They are given training, mentorship, networking opportunities, and funding. Yeager says they are assisting 460 youth-led projects around the world with an estimated impact on 16 million people.
Personally, I believe that the grassroots work these young people are doing is immensely important, not only in terms of the results that the project itself is having, but also to show other young people that it's important to become active, that they can have an impact in their communities.
Lukhanyo Sonyamba of South Africa is one of the new global change makers, selected from almost 5,000 entrants. Already an advisor to his government's Children's Commissioner, Sonyamba is hoping this new distinction will further his mission to help young people bridge intergenerational challenges in the workplace.
There's many instances where I've actually had to speak with my the other co-workers and try to find that middle ground where we actually come to a consensus like, okay, I know that I'm younger than you and you're older than me and you've been doing this quite for a long time, but when you're wrong, I will address you in this manner respectfully, and when I'm wrong, address me respectfully.
Becoming a global change maker in 2016 has made a massive difference to nutrition advocate Maureen Muketha of Kenya, who's at the summit as a facilitator. She founded Tule Vyema, which is Swahili for Let's Eat Right. It encourages young women to cultivate indigenous gardens for their household consumption and sell the surplus. So far, Muketha has reached 900 households.
Global Changemakers has equipped me with the necessary skills in terms of how to do fundraising, but also how to do proposal writing.
For the first time this year, Atia Kafia, an organizer.
That was Vicky Stark from South Africa. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Vundy, and our engineer, Patrick Dea, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.